morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, to stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
Wow. We have had a beautiful first day of the week. It is a day that the people of God, that it's a time to be busy in the Lord's work. We've been edified by the songs today, thank you. Prayer by T. Rex, the scripture reading by Brock. We've done things in worship. We've done things in Bible class. We appreciate what each one is doing here at this place in the cause of Christ. And we want to look, really a lot of times, we don't think too much about it. We want to look to the future of this community. And preaching the gospel through the lost here in this community and really throughout the world. I don't know, we don't think too much about that. We take care of business sort of under the table. We take business on top of the table, but we do support a lot of those that preach the gospel around the world, and we want to continue to do that so that the light of the gospel will shine not only here but all over, and we seek out those opportunities. All of us seek those opportunities to grow and serve the Lord in any way that we can. We do that. I appreciate Brock's reading of the 9 verses. Mickey is on vacation. That's been a good one for him. He liked that. Big 9 verses. But listen, I want us to focus on those 9 verses, and I want us to look at them this morning beginning in Philippians 4. And really, I just want to talk about, I want to talk about the word balance this morning, as you see on your handout. And I'm taking it from the 5th verse there, Philippians 4. He says, let your moderation be known to all men. I think it's a beautiful text that in our life, that we are to maintain a healthy, we're to maintain a balanced outlook. I believe as we live in this world, that's the outlook, that's the perspective, that's the attitude that I believe that we as Christians need to have. And as you look at verses 1, let's look at verse 1, the admonitions there in verse 1 and 4. In verse 1, he expresses his tender love in those kind of terms, his love for his brothers. And he amongst them, there to stand fast in the Lord. Now notice, verse 4, he also says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I think we see a balancing factor in that it is that those that take a strong stand for truth and right, those that take a position that, listen, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to live as a Christian, and, you know, the Lord doesn't mean for you to be depressed. And he doesn't mean for you to be unhappy because you've taken that position. Really, a Christian, again, he's the happiest guy on earth. And he's doing what? He's always rejoicing in the Lord. Number one fact is that he has forgiven him and that he's found his place in the kingdom and that the Lord, and he needs to rejoice in that. And we see that balancing factor in that, I think. That no, not unhappy, but that we're to be happy, all right? Verse 2 and 3, where apparently a couple of women have been in the church, were out of balance with each other. So Paul says that they need to be in the same mind, and that when women are in the proper relationship with each other, that they can be an asset, that if they're in the proper relationship with each other, as well as in those in the church, that they can be valuable to the cause of Christ. Of course, verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Now, here's an emphasis of balance, and balance takes maturity. Balance takes an attitude of growth, I think, and it's the idea that balance gives you, listen, we're not going to be thrown out of kilter. We're not going to be thrown off balance, and Paul admonishes us to do that, and we're not to overreact, I think, to things that come along in our life, all right? But we're to trust in the Lord. Why? He's always there. He says he's always at hand. So you look at verse 6 and 7, where he admonishes us, rather than being broken down by worry, by anxious care, what do? We lay those things to the Lord. We give those things to the Lord, and we give him our thanks. In verse 7, he promises that when we do that, that God's peace will be there. And as a simple stand, you know, like a guard, it'll guard our, like a sentinel, I get that picture, at the door of our hearts and minds. We'll have that peace. God will give us that. So we learn, I think, that a close relationship with the Lord that we all need and that we all must have, that relationship that we have with the Lord in prayer, what that does? It keeps us spiritually strong. It keeps us balanced in our lives. And then notice verse 8 and 9, he emphasizes the importance of that thanking. What are we to be thanking on? Well, look at it. True. Those things are true. Those things are honest, pure, lovely, good report. These things that are virtuous, these are the things that we need to be thinking about that are worthy of praise. Now, we live in a wicked world. We live in a sin-filled world. We live in a violent world. As has been discussed, it's getting worse and worse. We are surrounded by also false doctrines, both externally, and false doctrines can also creep in internally. And what we're called upon to do is we're called upon to live above those things. And we're called upon to see those things different. And we're even called upon that people that are entrapped in this wicked world, we're called upon them to help people out of that, out of their ungodliness. But I want us to know that we're not to dwell on that, alright? We're not to dwell all the time on the ungodliness. We're not to dwell on all the time that it fills our every waking moment. Uh-oh. It's terrible out there. It's awful out there. And I know a lot of people that's all that's on their mind. And the reason I believe that it's a scriptural principle that we're not to do that is because I think it throws us off balance. It discourages us. I know a lot of people, former Christians, that are unfaithful now, that just threw up their hands. What's the use? They've just given up. And really, the ungodliness has taken over in their lives. No. We must dwell on truth and right. We must dwell on truth and righteousness and that which is pure, that which is in good, that's good. And that is things that build us up. That makes us stronger as Christians. And in doing that, verse 8 there, he says we're to give special and close attention to those things that are taught in God's Word, the example that Paul has left, the example that other inspired men have left. He says that when you do that, God's peace will be with you. In other words, we find balance. We find balance when we do those things. We find safety. We find security when you have that relationship with God. We all want that. This principle, let your moderation be known to all men. This principle of attaining balance, this godly living principle that I believe is taught here. Listen, it's in all areas of life, all of our lives. Now, and this morning I want to touch on a few. I'll give you the definition of balance. It says an attitude of moderation, forbearance, fairness, reasonable, patience, graciousness with strength and poise of character, not to overreact, poise and patience in all cases. Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to be hitting a few scriptures. You better get those thumbs ready. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16. Hast thou found, honey, eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Guess what that is? You can get too much of a good thing. That's what he's talking about. So eat what you need, but in essence, when you're telling honey, let your moderation be known to all men. Alright? So look at verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and hate thee. Here's a proverb that says, you can wear out your welcome. Yeah, you can. And learning what a balance is there. As you know, people, when they leave, you and your wife just step up and down. This is the greatest. You know, the torture that was there. How long can you stay at my house and still I've got a good view of you and our relationship? And so I need to think about that. Sometimes my presence might wear thin. We've got problems. And so this unbalanced attitude wears thin on people. And the people need to know that. Don't think about that. But this concept is taught throughout the Word of God. And what it is, it's learning to strike the proper balance in your life. In scriptural matters, turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Wisest man that ever walked the earth wrote these words. Chapter 7, notice what he says in verse 15. I have seen everything during my lifetime, a futility. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. There's a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Do not be excessively righteous, and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp one thing, and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth, he says, with both of them. Verse 16. Are you too wise for your own good? You too religious for your own good? I know people like that. Over-religious? How can a preacher say, oh, you can be over-religious? I'll tell you how. Well, you think about it. If you're the arbiter of all the matters that pertain to religion, you have an exaggerated righteousness about yourself. If you think you've got the answer for it all, and you know it all, I think you're a little bit out of bounds. And you look at verse 17, the opposite is true. The extreme in that is that you can use that kind of reasoning to live a life of willful sin, give you an excuse for sin. But verse 18, true faith requires balance. It's focused on the true revelation of God, and it's avoiding extremes. We need to avoid those extremes. Really, that's what that text is about. Now, we're tested in times of controversy to have balance in content and in our tone and in how we speak, our demeanor. Now, there is to be never any, no perverting of the truth whatsoever. But we are to be wise in our tone, how we speak it, and it must be with grace, he says. Remember that passage. Not arrogant, without bitterness. And this is what advances the cause of Christ. People are receptive to that. Now I want to talk about some challenges that I think that we all face in having a balance in our lives. Where those applications are. Now, I'm going to start myself, an application for the preacher. And I think that all ministers of the gospel struggle with this. And when you preach, and again, I've said it before, when you preach and teach, it's to you, applications are to me. But it's important that we strive for balance. Acts chapter 20. When Paul referred to the work that he's done at Ephesus, notice Acts 20. He continues his speech, verse 26. He says, wherefore I testify to you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. One of the great challenges in attempting to preach the gospel and teach to others is that the gospel, that you need to apply all of it, the whole counsel of God. All the counsel of God needs to be to just as many people as they are. Now, many people out there come from many diverse backgrounds, do many different things, have all kinds of different needs. But we must not leave out any truth, and in our attempt to live as we should and influence others, we don't want to leave anybody out either. That's a challenge. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, a familiar passage. Notice what was said to the young priest. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when it speaks of rightly dividing this, it includes such things, I believe, as recognizing the Old Testament and the New Testament. These are things that we learn as we grow and mature. There are many things that you can apply that to. But as you're looking at that, I think there's significance in that we make sure that we make the right division, really intellectually, correctly, so that we can be effective in our teaching, and that you can portion your teaching out to the different people according to your needs. You may be teaching full steam ahead and won't work with someone, and you're talking to them, and the next time you're talking to someone about the same subject, they might go, well, wait a minute, I don't get it. That doesn't apply to me. And so there's challenges that we face as a preacher, as a teacher of the gospel. And we may try to enforce something that absolutely has nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, and on it goes. But there's a need to strike a balance when you teach the gospel. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Here we see the need to balance between milk and meat. He says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God. In this principle also is the principle of time. There's time, and we're required, we're responsible for our time. as we develop some milk to meat. All right? He says, and all become such as one as had milk, not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised and turned both good and evil. Notice that there is a need for milk, and then there is a need for meat. And sometimes, as a teacher, that you would like to go on to the meat, but you need to recognize that there's a need for milk. And I think it's a great challenge for me. It has been a challenge for me. And knowing that milk is needed more than meat sometimes. And I've talked to a lot of folks that think that they're big-time meat eaters, but really they're the biggest milk drinkers when it comes to certain issues in the Word of God. And you don't have to first preach it. I know that's not a revelation to any of you, but that's one of the things that I've learned and grow in that and to learn that balance as a teacher. And I think there's another thing that goes along with that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice that the next expression here is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All right. When we do that kind of teaching now, all right, notice, the man of God will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice that in just that text that there's positive, there's negative, there's a balance there. We need to teach sound doctrine in all matters, and that gets you to the need of reproving certain things. Condemning sin, reproving sin. Now, with that comes correction. All right? Now, what good does it mean to hammer sin, 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 condemn, 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 if I don't help you figure out a way and don't show you how you can do better than that? That's part of the job. Sometimes I wish it wasn't. I just wish I could just, everybody's going to hell and you're going to barely make it. You know, that's it? Is that, oh, no. Listen, if you're caught up in something, you need help in something, that's my job too. We want to do that. We want to balance that out. Positive and negative. Chapter 4, Paul says, preach the word, verse 2. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He says that your work is emphatically negative. Look at that. Negative in reproving and rebuking. Those are negative things you can do. But look on the positive side. He says, I'm going to do it with all long suffering. I'm going to be doing it with the truth of God, the doctrine of God. Both positive and negative teaching require a balance. And again, I want to tell you, this preacher has to work on that. Trying to strike that balance. And, you know, looking over something over the past year or so, I did a quick glance while I'm done on this. I thought, well, I'm about 40% positive and about 50% negative. So maybe I need to bring up the pause a little bit, just a self-evaluation there on this. But the second area that's related to public and private teaching. Again, when we look at the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we know that passage. But the people of God, they were praising God, finding favor in God. I want you to notice that there was both public and private teaching there. All the people. The Lord added to the church daily that should be saved. Notice every member had an influence. Every member had a part in teaching and preaching the gospel. Everybody. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, the apostles, they taught privately, but also in the temple. They taught publicly, daily in the temple, it says. Every house, it says. They ceased not to teach Christ and Him crucified, the gospel. They preached Jesus wherever they could. They struck a balance there. We just read Acts 20, verse 20. Paul did the same thing. Now, notice 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now, this admonition is given to all of us. Alright? He says this. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So every Christian needs to play your part in preaching, teaching, spreading the gospel. A local preacher does both. Publicly, privately, alright. But we are active in that participation. That's the point I want you to get. There's the balancing factor that I think is a principal taught in the Word of God. We all work this together. Just in verse 3 of Philippians 4, these women, they can be an asset. The fellow laborers call them. Well, the daily life of your life, of the Christian life, what does it do? It either helps the work or either hinders the work. You need to answer which that is. Is what you're doing, the life that you're living, is it helping the work of the Lord, or is it hindering the work of the Lord? All right, call the truth. We all sow the seed. All right. And again, we just sit hand in glove, and it helps strike a balance. And if you don't get that, listen, if the only preaching and teaching this community gets is from me standing up here one day a week and preaching and teaching, you know what? We're not going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in this community of lost people. It's just not going to happen. So there's a balancing factor, I believe, that God built into the plan of redemption. I believe that. You have a part in that. I want you to think about a balancing factor in another way. And I'm going to say it this way. We ought to have legitimate concerns, all of us. But we ought to avoid needless worry. I believe the Bible distinguishes this, and I think it teaches these principles. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Now, when cares of this life and troubles of this life seem to engulf all of us, and they do sometimes, all right? I want you to remember what's recorded here in Mark chapter 4. Now, when the disciples came to the Sea of Galilee, they're in the boat in the Sea of Galilee. Apparently, the storm's bad. There's water coming in a boat. If you've ever been in a fishing boat and water's coming in, you're in trouble. All right? And so they woke Jesus asleep. They woke him up. All right? And they asked him, don't you care that we're going to die? We're going to perish here. Verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In this life, we are going to have all kinds of trouble. Count on all kinds of trials in this world. Count on all kinds of challenges. Either or, we're going to be broken down with worry. Alright? We're either going to be broken down with worry, or we're going to have legitimate concerns with what's going on out there, and then in doing that, we're going to keep the proper balance. Which is it going to be? Alright? You know anybody? Worry, 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 worry. That's all they do. And they don't have that balance. They never struck the balance. Every minute is worry, worry, worry. And what ought we be concerned about as Christians? What's the weather? Where are you sleeping? Who's clothing the shelter? Didn't the Lord say, wait a minute, I take care of that. The lilies in the field, remember what he said on the Sermon Mount? Is that what you're worried about? Well, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that if a man will not supply the need of his own household, he's worse than an infidel. That's a legitimate worry, is it not? Certainly it is. We're all concerned about capital, how we're going to live, how we're going to make it, our job, all of those things. Yeah, we need to be concerned about that. That's a legitimate concern. But notice what he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Paul said there were some that wasn't as concerned enough. He said, we hear that some of you walk disorderly, working not at all, but a busybody. Them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. We're concerned enough. Isn't that work? Who wants to work? And sometimes we need to be more concerned. I know people that aren't concerned about it at all. There's no balance there. In Philippians chapter 4, again, we didn't read verses 10 through 13, but I want you to notice part of that. Go back to the original text. He says, not that I speak in respect of one, for I've learned in whatever state I am, I'm going to be content. He said he learned how to be abased and abound, and how to be full and how to be hungry. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. You see the balance there? Paul applied what he had taught. That you know what? Let your moderation be known to all men. Paul could use the support of this church. He said, listen, you know what? If I don't give, that's fine. I may do without. Folks, Jesus said he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. You believe it? Do you believe it? And really, I don't know any of us, and I'll just use my own self as a testimony to that. I look back at my life. You know what? God took care of me all my life. And supplied me all my life. Even the dumb decisions I made, he kept my head above water many times, and looking back, the only person, the only way that I know, is that God got me through that. He said he would, and he has. And I think all of us can recognize that in our life. Just let your own life testify to what the Lord said. He's going to take care of you. Take another way about that we need to look at. You know what? I think there's a legitimate concern. We talked again in the Revelation class about the wicked governments that are in this world. About our own government that's going on. I know that this is a burden in a lot of people's hearts and minds and from time to time. And I think that it ought to be a concern as a citizen of this country. Notice what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, there's a time when the government was so wicked they were killing Christians. It didn't matter what level, high, from high to low. But notice what he says in verse 13. He says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be for the king as supreme, and we're submitting to the government, or governors, or other governors, as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them to do well. The latter part shows the design there of how God wants governments to operate. What he wants them to do is he wants them to punish the evildoers and reward those that do good. But that doesn't always happen that way. What was happening back then, they were killing Christians. They were being put to death by the government. Today, we see government in all kinds of things that we wish they were not. Abortion. We think about that. Having a hand in slaughtering babies and telling us to protect their lives. I think about that. And certainly those kinds of things should burden our hearts as Christians. And we think about our government being involved in all of that. 1.5 million babies a year being slaughtered. That ought to burden us bad. I thought Proverbs 14 is on your handout. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach and downfall to any people. A nation that kills its own, I can tell you, is in for a fall. It is in for a fall. We've been murdering babies for a long time. Now, that's a burden that we have. And we see the government not fulfilling its God-ordained promise. Revelation chapter 6. We talked a little bit about that this morning. The governments were persecuting Christians. What were the Christians doing? Crying out. Now, I'm going to say it's not wrong to cry out. I think sometimes we need to cry out. But he says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. How long, really, was part of that question? How long is God going to tolerate this? How long is God going to put up with this? How long is God going to let how long is he going to let this government kill Christians? How long is he going to let our government kill babies? Alright? How long? The slaughter of babies. Or whatever else it might be. But now we can cry loud and long, but listen. Even in all of that, we want to maintain our faith. We want to maintain a balance. Why is that, folks? God rules the nation. God rules the world. Don't you forget that. That's one of the encouraging things that is written in the book of Revelation. We need to know that. We want to pray to him by faith. We want to live as he directs. You know what? Some people, I know, maybe you do too, they got so upset with the government. And you know what? They stay glued to that channel 24/7. And I'll tell you what, you can't talk to somebody for 5 minutes. That's all they want to talk about. And that's all that's on their mind. And they don't want to talk about anything else. And I mention that because I see folks like that. Their life is not balanced. They have not found this balance, and they've gone beyond the boundaries of faith. Legitimate concerns, yes. But needless worries, no. Anxious worries, no. That's not the Christian. That's not letting moderation be known to all men. How about concern for the lost? You burdened by that? I am. Sometimes I think I'm overburdened by that, and a lot of times the loss that I think about is my own family. And my own friends that I know that aren't serving the Lord, not Christians. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Look at what Paul, he's concerned about the law. What he says in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer of God is for Israel that they might be saved. I bear the record they have revealed for God, but not according to knowledge. You can see the sadness in his voice when he says that. You can see the concern that he has for his fellow countrymen. You can see all of that. What did he do about it? Well, he was praying for them. I know that. Also, he was teaching them the gospel in verse 16. He's not ashamed of that. This is what's going to save your soul. And so, what can we do? And I think about sometimes, too, is there an imbalance in your life? That can you go a day, a week, a month? When is the last time you thought about your family's soul? Your family's eternal salvation. The friends that are closest to you, do you need to give it a second thought? That you might need to teach them. If you haven't, there's no balance there. There's no balance there. So the most we can do what? Pray. We need to pray about that. We need to live right, and we need to teach them that every opportunity that we have, the truth of the gospel, that's what we need to do. But we need to guard this so that we don't get out of balance in a way that it affects our faith, that it wounds our faith. I've known people with sincere hearts that begin to see somebody as lost, guess what? They end up being lost themselves. Be careful. Don't get out of balance. But now, move in another direction and let this moderation that we're talking about, this balance be known to all men. We need balance in recognizing matters of revealed faith and matters of personal faith. We need balance in matters of revealed faith and matters of personal faith. I want you to get that. Now, the New Testament addresses both of these. Notice, in Jude 3, what does he say? He says that we need to earnestly contend for what? A faith? No. The faith that was delivered once to all sons. All right? John chapter 2, 1 John 2, verse 9. He says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He who abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house. He says, and do not bid him Godspeed. Well, we see that there are certain matters that are revealed in God's Word, that in order to have fellowship with God, and that in order to have fellowship with one another, that we need to have the proper perspective of those things that have been revealed, certain matters that are revealed, that unites us. This is revealed faith. We've got to be on the same page with these things in order to have that fellowship. Well, on the other hand, not all issues fall into that category. Not all. Notice Romans 14. And Paul begins with this admonition. Verse 1. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, that's on certain points. Okay. Receive ye, but not the doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him that despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that he eateth, for God hath received him. He said verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Then, he taught them to be at peace with one another, work through those things. All right. These things of personal faith. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make peace, and these things wherewith one may edify another. So we see a balance that Paul was teaching that we need to attain to deal with matters when it comes to our own personal faith, those judgment things. And when various issues arise through the years, we need to have a determination, all of us, that we're going to study through those things patiently and confidently and with an understanding that we're going to learn and we're going to grow together, we're going to understand the truth. Ephesians 3:4 says that when you read it, you're going to understand. In chapter 5, he says that when you read it, it teaches you to understand what the will of the Lord is. All right? So we need to have a confidence that when troubling issues arise, and these are times, that with patience and with study of God's Word, that I can understand the truth. Now, if we're unsure where some point or practice fits in, whether it's revealed faith or whether it's personal faith, you know that you can find a way to keep your conscience clear without binding it on somebody else. Did you get that? You can find a way, as we're studying things, to keep your conscience clear without having to bind it on somebody else. And if we patiently study those things and we experience the counsel of godly sons, we open God's Word, we can keep a balance that way, because in doing that, we're going to shed light on the truth of God, what's been revealed. And we don't need to become obsessed with one subject, one matter, and we get sidetracked. That's what it's all about. There's no moderation in that. There has always been. There always will be. We just can't get away from it. We can wish it away. But there have been departures from revealed faith. There have been disagreements over matters of personal faith. Always. That's the history of the church. And we'll always be called upon to study those things. To look at those things. There'll be times of study that we strive with each other to come up with the right thing as issues come up and go in the Lord's box. And it seems that during and after periods of major apostasy, major division, I don't know why, but there's always been, it seems, that there's just an overreaction. Oh, we just jump right on it. We overreact when we have these divisions or controversies that come up. And many times, that overreaction is a lot. That's why the division even happens. Now, as I read these things, I want you to think, when you hear the word, what is it? Revealed faith or personal faith? These are just some of the things I saw from that, no research here. But we've had division over these things. Missionary society, the covering, one cup, no divided Bible class, no located preachers, instrumental music, no woman teachers, women speaking, orphan homes, benevolence to saints only, what Bible version do you use, no printing literature, yes, we don't have to. The sign out front, a specific order of worship, scriptural use of the church building, eating in the church building, taking an oath, modest apparel, war, Lord's Supper offered at the PM, through the fellowship, including withdrawal, grace and unity, marriage and divorce. You know what that is? Just hit the iceberg. That's right. That's just some off the top of my head. I didn't do any research on that. The pattern is that when there's been division, a point of contention, we go through this some sorting out. We look at it, and many in that overreact. There's an overreaction, and so what? Let your moderation, let your balance be known to all men. No subject at all is off limits to study. No, everyone. But guard against overreacting. Guard against that. Folks get on something, I'm telling you what, they cannot get off of it. There's no balance. There's no balance there. And listen, this isn't about compromising truth. This isn't about fellowshipping error. None of that. This is about looking at what Paul says we need to be in our lives. All of our lives. Physical and spiritual things. There has to be balance in our lives. You know what? We see the word patience. You know what we think about? That's not blowing your stack when you're Walmart in line with all the juice balls. I'm going to be patient now. That's not it. Patience is about patiently being with someone, teaching someone, suffering long. Why? Because you're working to save the most valuable thing that they own and possess. It's their soul. I want to have balance in that. There's a lot of application. Law. We have a lot of people that are not faithful today because they haven't been allowed to grow. You know that? I know a lot of people that threw up their hands and said, I can't do this. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm done. You know why? Because there were unrealistic expectations put on them. That's why. And this thing about balance, we never approach them about that, even in their subject or about themselves. Can we be out of balance when it comes to the controversy that arise in the church? Are you out of balance? Let me just plant the seed with you here. What about we need to put spiritual things first before physical things? Notice Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, for no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and man. Now, mammon, and you can serve really anything there you want to for mammon. And mammon is material things. So you can put anything you want there, all right? You can put family, you can put job, your hobbies, you can put athletics, you can put all those things if you want to. But what he's saying is, two things cannot occupy your heart at the same time. Oh, that guy's a good provider, isn't he? Huh? That guy works all the time. He works all the time. He neglects chapter 6, verse 4 of Ephesians when he says that he needs to be a good father. The family suffers. His children never see him. He's not there to lead the family. Alright? All he's good provider. God's got everything. He's failing in his responsibilities to his spouse. I know two preachers that are divorced. One, his spouse remarried, and she is in an adulterous relationship. The other is not yet to remarry. And you know what happened to both those preachers? They were so busy saving you guys that they didn't save their marriage. They're so busy wrapped up in the work of the Lord that they forgot to work at the house. Imbalance. Imbalance. We'll travel halfway across the state to see our kids sing something or play ball, but we're too wore out to come to a gospel meeting because it's a school night. Isn't that something? there's imbalance there.
And what I'm saying to all that is that all of us need to check and make sure our lives are balanced, and that in all things there's moderation, and that we need to make a dedicated effort to have balance in the responsibilities of our lives. And what I mean by that is our responsibilities in life first comes with God. And I think all of us can agree with that. All of us have responsibilities to our spouse, our children. We have responsibility to our parents. We have responsibility to our employees. But undergirding all of that is the Bible principle. We have to have balance. Where does that begin? What does that happen?
When you start loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, your neighbor as yourself, and then you build those relationships, and then you can have the proper balance in all things of your life. Is your moderation known by all men, brethren? Is it? Well, you out of balance. Get the phone book down. If you've not been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, what a wonderful opportunity right now. You have to do it. Jesus said very plainly, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." If you believe false teaching, you believe that you can just accept Jesus in your heart and pray that you'll be saved, that's false teaching. That's a lie. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." To be in Christ requires one to turn to God in simple obedience, trusting obedience, doing what He says. And I promise you, if you do what God says for you to do, He will do for you what He says. He'll reward you with health. Please come as together we stand and pray.